guys, welcome back to Navigate Devotional. Here at Navigate, our hope and prayer is to help you engage with the Bible. It's through the Bible that God speaks, and today, as we have a conversation over this passage, we hope you're able to be refreshed, challenged, and comforted by what God says.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Navigate. We're going to continue through the book of Romans, and today we're looking at Romans chapter 12, verse 3 to 8. This is what God's word says, starting at verse 3. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. So I'm joined with Ryan, and we're going to have a chat over this passage. And Ryan, we've entered into kind of the second part of Romans in some sense.
Yeah.
We looked at this in the last episode, how there's this big therefore in light of everything that's come from chapter 1 to 11. Mm-hmm. You know, live your lives as a living sacrifice. This is your worship. It's an all of life thing. It's a special thing that happens on a Sunday as well, but it transforms everything. And then now Paul's kind of moving to this, the sort of real practical implications of what this looks like.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, like you were saying, we looked at Romans 12, 1 to 2, and at kind of the heart of it talked about the renewing of our minds, or the repenting of our minds, or the turning of our inner being around what is good and pleasing and perfect. And holy and right in terms of our who God is, but also who God has made us to be, rescued us to be in Jesus. And so, in light of God's mercies, turning our hearts around that. And so here Paul starts to go, okay, what does that actually start to look like? What are we turning away from, and what are we turning to? And so the one of the big things he starts with, he gives us the principle, then he kind of unpacks it for us. Don't think of yourselves too highly as you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God's distributed to each of us. And so, kind of don't think of yourselves, in rephrasing it, like too highly, so too much of yourself or too little of yourself. If I could capture that, it's learning to love yourself in the way that, God loves us. And so in the sense that we are deeply valuable to him, it's not all about us.
Yeah.
And so it gives us a really helpful image.
Yeah, I love that, because it's some of us, as we're listening, some of us who are listening, it's our temptation to think of ourselves more highly than we ought. And so we think, if you take me out of this church, this family, whatever, I am irreplaceable. And I am needed here, and if I'm not here, then this movement's going to fall flat. But then there's some of us who think of ourselves too lowly, and we think, well, I'm not needed. I don't have a place. I'm not, worthwhile, all of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And, if I wasn't here, no one would notice. And what this is kind of getting at is what you sort of said, rather think of yourself with sober judgment. It's kind of going, you're not irreplaceable, so don't think of yourself too highly. But you do have a position. You do have a place that's worthy and worthwhile. And you are needed. And Paul is specifically speaking here about a church body.
Yeah.
And the image that he uses is then of a body, as he talks about kind of the, and you could localize this to your local church community. He pictures this as a body. And he has this image then of, as we understand to how to love ourselves like God loves us, he sort of gives us this image of a body with different members, different body parts. And he says they're all different. They don't have the same function. In Christ, we are different, but we all come together. We're one body, and we belong to the other. So, you know, I remember a few years ago, I think I've said this on Navigate perhaps too. We did this at a youth camp where we asked people what part of the body, you know, they thought they were. And one of the boys said they were they were the appendix. And I said to him, why are you the appendix? He's like, you don't notice I'm there, but occasionally I start to hurt and then you notice me. It's like, yeah, that's good.
That is funny. That's a good one.
But yeah, it's a really helpful picture. Mm. So we're a part of the body, different members, different parts of the body. And when you think about a body, you know, the hand is really important. But if the hand didn't have the wrist, you know, the wrist, you know, I don't know, it wouldn't function. The elbows are important. You know, every part of the body is important.
Yeah, that's right. And I think what moves us to see ourselves in sober judgment in this way, like you're talking about, is that this is God's good intentions for us. It's the gift from God. It's the faith He's given us. It's how He has shaped us and rescued us. It's the good works He's prepared in advance for us to do. And so it is learning to see ourselves in the way God sees us in the diversity of His family. And so, yeah, it is this holding tightly to the unity in the sense that we need each other and yet holding to the diversity in the sense we all play a unique part.
Yeah.
And you can't say that, I'm better than you or lesser than you. Mm. And so, yeah, God wants to teach our hearts this new lesson where hearts have been taught either, you know, potentially to think less of ourselves, and He wants to teach our hearts, no, actually, you're more significant than you realize. Mm. Some of us have hearts that have learned that, hey, we're better than others, and God wants to teach us, well, actually, no, you're not that vital to, the world doesn't sit on your shoulders.
Yeah. Really. Now, I love that this comes, you know, after 11 chapters of talking about how we're saved by faith in Jesus alone. It's not through works. But then we're thinking about here how this plays out, and you see this in verse 6. So we have different gifts according to the grace given us. So this is why, you know, we are put together. We're put together. We're united together because of grace and because of what God has done. Now, there's some of these, things that he's speaking about here that often, you know, we think, okay, if I am playing my part in the church, or if people are, it's the people who are doing these things. It's the upfront stuff. So you've got like prophesying, teaching, leading, and these are the upfront, you know, the pastors do these jobs or whatever. And often it's the temptation to think, okay, they're the only ones doing, you know, the serving in some sense. But Paul says, and highlights some other ones here that we want to focus on and think about this morning, not this morning, wherever you are listening to this right now, because there's some really helpful thing here where he says, you know, you have a different gift. And if this is your gift, then use it. So it's not just those upfront things. It's like if it's serving, then serve. Mm. If it's encouraging, then encourage. If it's giving generously, then give generously. If it's showing mercy, then do it cheerfully. And so I just wanted to talk about those four, I guess, particularly, because they're often ones that don't get, you know, much airtime.
Yeah, that's right. So we do get kind of really nice examples of this, throughout the Bible, and particularly if, you know, we did Acts, it feels like a long time ago now, but it was the last kind of book of the Bible that we worked through on Navigate, and you see examples of this, particularly in the man Barnabas. Kind of, we loved kind of the short time we had with Barnabas, we loved it. But
my boy.
Yeah, we see that, you know, his name and encouragement, and he was someone who got alongside Paul and just encouraged him to take seriously the grace that God had given him. And it meant just supporting Paul, like often in the number two seat. He wasn't the one necessarily doing all the teaching all the time. He wasn't up front all the time.
Yeah.
So he worked kind of in the background. And in many ways, we see that he even kind of moves off the scene completely for a while, and yet still very encouraging of Paul. Mm. And yet he's also... When we first meet him, he's extremely generous. He gives generously. And he wasn't one of the apostles. He wasn't one of the teachers and leaders of the church at that point. And we see him show mercy in the way he, you know, with John Mark, the one who rubbed Paul up the wrong way. And Paul's like, showed no mercy. There's like, no, actually, I'm going to treat you the way you deserve.
Yeah.
I'm done like kind of having you follow us.
Yeah.
But Barnabas goes, no, I'm going to treat you in the way you don't deserve, and I'm going to take you under my wing like I did Paul. And so we kind of get this picture, and it's, yeah, the way this comes out in church, it isn't naturally those who perhaps gravitate towards being those seen in church up front, but those who kind of more perhaps gravitate to being with people behind the scenes.
Yeah, and here he's saying these things, so serving, giving, showing mercy and giving encouragement, those things are just as important as teaching and as leading. And it's important to note that. And, you know, as you're reflecting there on Barnabas, I was just thinking, like, many of us, as we're listening to this, we know someone who has been someone who's given generously. You know, we've seen someone who has served wholeheartedly and laid their life down, you know, in different ways. We know someone who has been just a great encouragement. You know, someone's given us words perhaps, or we've heard someone say something really encouraging. We might know someone who's shown mercy. And as you think about the people, as you put a face to these things, you begin to realize actually we value these when we experience them.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, we can get caught into the kind of the lie of the world that you've got to be up front to be valued. And here it is saying, no, we're one body and each member belongs to the other. Now, just quickly, let's talk about the different idea of what comes natural and what doesn't come natural. And quickly talk about this just in terms of using our gifts.
Yeah, sure. So it's really important to see that, you know, a lot of these gifts here aren't, in a sense, skills. They're more characteristics. Like being generous isn't necessarily something you learn and go to, you know, you don't go to a trade school and learn how to be generous. It's kind of something that's kind of comes almost naturally to you. Same with encouragement, same with mercy. You don't go and do a course on showing mercy or being encouraging. It's kind of just, it's who you are. And so there's kind of natural skills that kind of like how we're wired to relate in the world. And so thinking of them like that, they're things that you didn't really have to learn or practice in a deliberate kind of way. So that's natural gifts, skills, and that's kind of so tied up into who God has wired us to be. Then second is the things that become second nature to us, which things that we've had to learn over a long period of time now just come naturally to us.
Yeah.
It's kind of second nature. Like swinging a hammer, a learned skill. You didn't just kind of naturally pick up a hammer and go bang and nail it straight away. You had to
learn it.
Bruise a lot of thumbs, lose a lot of fingernails. practicing the skill. And so now that you might be able to pick it up and just hit, like nail it and you're done. Like you don't have to think about it. It's second nature. It's a habit. So, our careers can be that. Stuff we picked up in terms of learning through being part of a sporting team and leading skills, all these other things. Yeah, the list could be huge, but it's kind of like it doesn't necessarily come natural, but it's actually you've learned it and now it's kind of part of you.
Yeah. Yeah. And then one more that I want to highlight too is just areas of need as well. So you've got things that naturally you're good at. So as you're listening to this, you might go, okay, you might know what you're naturally good at. You might not. You might need to ask people who are close to you, hey, what areas of strength do I have?
Yeah.
You might think there's some things over time that you've learned that are now natural, you know, as you mentioned, you know, banging a hammer.
Yeah.
But also, as I was listening to you, Ryan, speak, you know, many of us in our jobs have learned how to lead or how to manage, you know, either people or our time or whatever else. And so there's a skill there that we have. But there's one final area too here that is just an area of need that isn't a skill necessarily that anyone really has.
Yeah.
Right. So I think of something like, you know, vacuuming. It's an area of need, but it's not necessarily like, you know, someone's born just with the insane ability to vacuum.
Yeah.
You know, like we all need to vacuum because, you know, there's just dirt that happens everywhere in all of our homes. So I think that's a third thing to think through as well. And that really the area of need, you know, so the reason this is important to highlight is because sometimes people will say, you know, oh, I can't clean because I'm no good at it. And it's kind of like, well, none of us are really good at I know there are some people who are good at cleaning, but none of us are good at it. Mm. It's just something that some of us do because we know it needs to get done. And so I think there's also a way to participate in the body by doing, firstly, what you're naturally good at, secondly, what you've learned to be good at, and then thirdly, just where you see a need and you're able to step into that need and pursue that. As we think about this passage today, there is the encouragement that God has gifted you and placed you in a local church to use you to help build that church. You are a part of the body and you are a valuable part of the body. And so the encouragement that we want to give you is to think about what God-given gifts you have and to use them for God's glory and for the edification, the building up of His church. We want to encourage you that whatever comes naturally, to have a think about what you think are the natural skills and abilities that you have, that you were kind of born with, and want to encourage you to use that. If it's giving, to give generously. If it's encouragement, to encourage. If it's to show mercy, to do that. If it's teaching, to push into that. Want you to think about, too, what you've learned over time, what's second nature to you that you've learned, and to encourage you to push into that space to use that as well. You know, if it's leading a team, if it's managing people, if it's managing resources, to find out where you can use those skills and those gifts in your local community. And then finally, to think about the areas of need. Are there areas at your local church that just need to be done, that you feel like, you know what, it's not natural. It's not something that you're instinctively good at, but it is something that needs to be done. We want to encourage you that this is a way that you can encourage your church and to play your part in that local church by pushing into areas of need. As we do this, we remember that we do this in response to all that God has done and by the grace that He's given us. Thanks for listening. We hope you're able to think about this and push into your local church for the glory of God and the good of His people everywhere. Thanks heaps.